Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
4, 3, 2, 1!
Light that tree!
And we are coming back to Radio Boston with a party. I'm Tiziana Deering, and that is WCVB's coverage of last night's tree lighting on the Boston Common. The tree lighting is a Boston Parks and Recreation joint and just one of many winter activities in the city's parks and outdoor spaces. And here to tell us what's on deck, Jennifer Mishazik, the program manager for Boston Parks and Rec. Welcome back, Jennifer.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Happy holiday season to you.
You as well.
So it was pretty cool last night, huh?
It was phenomenal. It's such a family-friendly, fun event that just brings families together for an amazing tradition, cherishing, you know, our relationships with Nova Scotia. And the event, it's an old-fashioned small town, you know, brings you to the small town awesome vibe.
So I want to hit that Nova Scotia thing. The tree lighting ceremony we're talking about does have this fascinating story. Earlier this week on WBUR's daily podcast, The Common, we covered that Nova Scotia piece. It was from November 30th. You can check it out and hear more depth. So we spoke, Jennifer, with Ryan Woods, who is the Boston Parks and Rec Commissioner, about last night. And he often describes the event as your Super Bowl.
To have this many people outside in America's first park lighting this tree that has significance, that, you know, it's not all just about, you know, lighting the tree. It's about that story of goodwill, helping others, the things that are important during the holiday season. So being out here with over 10,000 people to light this tree, see the pyrotechnic display as the tree gets lit, confetti cannons go off, and have over 10,000 people in unison singing holiday songs. It really gets everybody into the holiday spirit.
So I was so struck by that, Jennifer Mishazik, because when people say, think about your local Parks and Rec department, that's not what they think, right? That kind of bringing people together, those kinds of major efforts. But there's a lot you do in the winter for people.
Yes, we have a vast majority of events from a winter children's festival during February vacation to sporting activities. We have clinics, softball, pickleball, baseball, football. So we try to hit every, you know, aspect that we can. And we also do offer our fitness series, which is very popular in the summer but extends into the winter months.
So what are people looking for from our parks, from our recreational department in the wintertime? What is it they want?
Just to get outdoors. And we have, you know, we have parks and playgrounds within walking distance to every neighborhood within the city of Boston. And, you know, for us, it's promoting it and getting people outdoors to get their bodies moving. And with our winter fitness series, you know, with COVID, we had to change a little bit and pivot like everyone else did, but offer, you know, virtual classes as well. So those who, you know, the rough, you know, days that we have with the weather, that they can keep their bodies moving, whether it's getting out to a facility and participating in our fitness series or virtual as well in their own home.
And the winter fitness series, is it indoors or outdoors?
We offer a hybrid, both.
So because this is interesting, our producer, Bart Tachi, pulled some research from the University of Utah earlier this year, which showed that spending about 2 hours a week outside and in nature can promote better health and overall well-being. So what are some of the other ways people can get outside with Boston Parks and Rec this winter?
Absolutely. We'll be offering a walking group led by our park rangers. Currently, they are doing that now, and our hopes is to keep it going throughout the winter months. But out of Franklin Park, we'll be offering a walking group or snowshoeing. So depending on what the weather brings, snowshoeing will be an option for the couple of months. And they can, you know, access that on our website as well.
So I can already hear listeners saying, okay, you're telling me a lot. I don't have a pen. How do I find out about all of this? Where can people go to find out more and sign up and that kind of thing?
Yep, they could visit www.boston.
I surprised you.
Oh my goodness!
Didn't I?
Yeah, okay, so I usually can rattle it off.
That's okay.
With no
we
problem.
Got your back here because this is what we can do. We will put it on radioboston.org, and because you're listening, I know you know Radio Boston. So we're going to have a link to all of this in our show webpage, radioboston.org. So I'm going to play a little bit of sound about the Mayor's Cup. This is from Damian Margardo, who is a colleague of yours.
You know, these are teams from Charlestown, Dorchester, South Boston, High Park, Alston Brighton, and Parkway. And we also have a team from Boston Score, which is for youth that have, you know, this might be their first year ever stepping on the ice. So, and that's usually inner city youth also from all different neighborhoods. So it is an incredible event.
It sounds pretty amazing. Tell us what that is.
Oh, our mayor. So we offer Mayor's Cup for a lot of sports, you know, softball, baseball. But our ice hockey tournament is mind-blowing. We have over 80-plus teams within the tournament that will take place within a two-week time span at the end of December. So having 80-plus teams in one tournament is amazing. And Damien does a phenomenal job at, you know, organizing those brackets, but bringing the neighborhood together and looking forward to this free, fun tournament. Battling within the neighborhoods.
So free seems important. I mean, ice hockey is exciting, but it can be expensive. It's time consuming. Is it an accessible sport for all of Boston's youth today?
That is why offering this tournament, you know, giving, you know, your local tournament an opportunity where there's no fees. You know, they can access it without a problem. And ice time is expensive. So, you know, being able to work with these neighborhoods and these ice rinks and a local university to be able to host these tournaments close by is very important.
So what about you? Any Meshazik family traditions that you're looking forward to this time of year?
My daughter plays on two hockey teams, so she'll be taking part in this hockey tournament
as
well.
Is this her first time? Has she ever done it before?
This will be her second year.
So how did they do last year?
She was on the all-girls team last year, and they did pretty well. I was proud of them.
And
they're going to do phenomenal this year. They won the states, and I think that the girls' team's going to take it all this year, but don't hold me to it.
All right, a little bit of prognosticating from Jennifer Meshazik, who is the program manager for Boston Parks and Recreation Department. Again, you can find more about all the programming that they have available for you this winter season at our website, radioboston.org. Jennifer, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.